Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's another edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Tuesday morning, October the 24th, 2017. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check out the show all the time at MetsMorizedOnline.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media, and you can get the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. Welcome back, and joining me in just a little bit from The Athletic, a new website. He covers the Cleveland Indians. TJ Zuppi will be joining me. And who else will we be talking about? Mickey Callaway, who he's had a chance to cover and be up close with out in Cleveland. The new Mets manager, the 21st Mets manager. And guess what? There have been plenty of press conferences that have been won here in New York. Countless number of press conferences, but you can't get a better 24 to 48 hours than Mickey Callaway had. Anybody, myself included, who watched the press conference yesterday saw his interaction, saw the media reaction. I've been saying for a while, and I'm going to add one component to what really I believe is the foundation for a successful manager. It's managing the media, and he did that very well, at least day one. I mean, I think whatever they were smitten with Terry Collins, I think that'll be put into the closet. And I think that at the very least, if he could be as erudite and upfront and engaging as he was throughout his tenure with the media as he was yesterday, he'll be fine. I mean, it's not that hard to win over this collection. Let's put it that way. You talk a little baseball with them, you give them some access, you give them the quotes they need, they will they'll flock and they'll be a best friend. And that's exactly what Terry Collins did. You got to manage the clubhouse, and I know that that's something he talked a lot about yesterday, Mickey Callaway. So, you know, that's something that he's going to have to prove that he's up for. You know, he's saying all the right things. And then you have to manage a bullpen, and again, who knows, just because he's been a solid pitching coach and he's had success with Terry Francona out in Cleveland, you don't know. The fourth component, and actually Joel Sherman of the New York Post brought it up, and it's not just the Mets, it's any organization now in sports. You have to really be able to manage the front office and ownership. Here with the Mets, it's not just about Sandy Alderson in the front office. It's also Fred Wilpon. I mean, it's no secret, and I was thrown in one of the pieces, one of the columns yesterday, that Mickey Callaway had to have a three-hour lunch with Fred Wilpon. Now, Fred Wilpon signing the checks, that's not uncommon. But this is not going to be a corporate bless-off working for the Mets where you have Sandy Alderson reporting to this group out in a, you know, an area outside of New York or a venture capital group. Like, this is a very personal relationship, a very personal situation, the New York Mets with Fred Wilpon, and he wants to be comfortable with who's managing his club, and he wants to talk baseball with them, and I'm sure Mickey Callaway did during that lunch, and I'm sure he will going forward. Now, that wasn't a reason to keep a bad manager around for a long time, but it is a component. Managing the front office, managing Jeff Wilpon, managing his father, making sure that everybody's on the same page. There's a lot of stakeholders in this, and that's what I would call, that's a corporate, a business word, stakeholders. There's a lot of stakeholders in this. And Mickey Callaway will learn how important it is to keep all of those stakeholders happy while maintaining the most important thing, which is winning baseball games. Now, no surprise that the word culture, and it's amazing because I know, I just have known since day one when Terry Collins was hired 7 years ago, how bad a pick that was. And I think a lot of the members of the media, and even I saw even Matt Cerrone pop in over at Mets blog, talk about how Sandy Alderson looked different and more relaxed. And I mean, obviously the first day a new manager is hired, he's going to be happy. But you never got the feeling, especially over the last few years, that Alderson and Collins were on the same page, or that Alderson felt good about Collins. And you heard about how many he tried to fire him. He's talked about it in his book. I mean, Collins was probably tabbed to be fired well before the 2015 season, and then that changed a lot of different things. But a lot of what I saw, at least, you know, and how this translates to tangible activities and tangible results remains to be seen. But I always talk about when Pat Riley came to New York with the Knicks over 20 years ago. He never talked about, you know, he introduced the concept of winning championships. And that was the end game. That was the result. But the process is what he talked about right away. It was one of the first things. And Riley talked about being the hardest working, most professional, best conditioned basketball club. Conditioning was a big part. He talked about the process of how the Knicks were going to compete, and he felt ultimately win. Now, that comes with good players, and they were able to get some good players and come pretty close to achieving that goal. But he set the foundation and the standard of a culture that lasted well over a decade, even after he had left, because that was what the organization was about. And he was on the same page with Ernie Grenfell, the GM, Dave Chekins, who was the president. And yesterday, if you listen closely, Mickey Callaway threw his Pat Riley-esque type of foundation, which is durability, preparedness, and aggressiveness, things that this team has not been. They have not been durable. And some of that, he talked about how he could, I guess, manage that. They have not been prepared. And anybody wants to argue, and people argue with me on Twitter about this or in person, anybody thinks this team has been prepared since they won the World Series in 2015, you're not paying attention. They have not been prepared out of spring training. And aggressive, I mean, getting out there and being ready to take it and win. You know what team's aggressive? It was the Washington Nationals. They've been pretty aggressive over the last couple of years. When they go into a series, they go out and they set the tone, they set the pace. And a lot of that has to be with a mindset. The Mets have been too relaxed. And people are still afraid to use the term complacent. I saw that yesterday. I'm not saying they were complacent. Yeah, they were complacent. And it's funny. You know, you hear Callaway speak, and just a couple of weeks ago, Noah Syndergaard couldn't think of pitching for anybody else but Dan Worthen as a pitching coach. But all of a sudden, he's tweeting out, well, yeah, welcome to New York. Believe me, all of what they know of what Terry Collins and Dan Worthen is in the back burner. It's going to be in the rearview mirror. By a week into pitcher, if not sooner, a week into pitchers and catchers, it'll be a distant memory. 2015 will look like 1973. That's how far into the back mirror it'll be. It really will be. So you have to be positive. You have to like what you heard. Again, their words. Winning the press conference isn't all that hard sometimes if you're smart. And Mickey Callaway clearly is smart. But what you're hoping is that he's coming here and he's setting a tone and he's setting a foundation. And I always felt back in 2010, what's interesting is that, and I'm not complaining about it, but they hired a manager who is new to the job, who may be a guy that, if it works out, could be here 10 years, could be their version of Bruce Bochy or Mike Socia. And I always felt in 2010 that's how I would have rebooted. I would have hired someone new, fresh, energetic, someone who you knew was going to be here a long time. Now, Terry Collins lasted 7 years, but he was also 60 years old when he was hired. You never felt that that was a long-term situation. If Terry was doing well, you know, you start to get to 68, 69, 70. That's the age where managers and coaches are kind of more of a short-term solution. I felt they needed that. That's why I thought Wally Backman was the best choice, not only from the standpoint of I felt he fit into the next wave of managers like a Mickey Callaway is right now. I thought from a branding perspective, his history with the New York Mets, not as important, but would have been part of it. Now, Mickey Callaway doesn't have that, but he's coming in and serving the purpose 7 years later with an established team, not a team that's looking to tear down, rebuild, that's in a financial mess. I almost feel like they got to flip. Like now, because they're in a win-now mode, the whole move that the Nationals made a couple of years ago, bringing Dusty Baker in, is almost the kind of move you would have expected more or would have tolerated more for the Mets now. Because in the next 2 to 3 years, there may be a rebuild after the end of the three-year deal. I mean, it's no secret that Callaway's got a three-year deal. I mean, 3 years, I mean, not saying they're going to get rid of him, but the window might be completely closed. The Mets have about 2 to 3 years to see what they can do here. I'm not saying they're not going to be good after that, but you don't know. And usually when you get a 5-6 year run, unless you get really lucky and your development system and your free agency comes your way, which you can't count on, you got to reboot and rebuild. Now, you hope you don't have to do the whole teardown that you did in 2010 and wait 4 or 5 years, because that's long. You hope you can make it a little bit more of a quicker turnaround. I know the Yankees have set a standard, but they've also not only been fortunate, but they've also had a lot of money pounded into that, and they haven't completely tore it down and rebuild. So that's a little bit of a hybrid situation. Bringing up the Knicks, that's what the Knicks did in the late 90s, and it worked for a couple of years. Eventually, and the Yankees should be more sustainable than the Knicks were for a variety of reasons, but eventually you have to tear it down. Eventually that just patches what inevitably has to be a wave of starting over, rebooting, and that usually takes a couple of years. The Cubs have done it, the Astros have done it, so on and so forth. So I'm a little surprised, and not surprised, but I guess it was almost like you expected them to go this route in 2010. They didn't, and I think they regret it. I think if you really sat down, they should have done this a long time ago. They regret it because I think they would have been today in a better position. But anyway, that's water under the bridge. Mickey Callaway, great first impression. Ace of the press conference, already winning over the media. Now he's got to win over his clubhouse starting in spring training. And we'll see how he does in terms of the in-game management. He clearly has won over his front office and his owner. And, you know, you can't get much better than that. You know, if you read any of the articles, I'll leave you with this, and then we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get to TJ Zuppi of The Athletic. Everywhere Callaway, whether it's walking in and getting a favor of an interview with the Cleveland Indians to work in their minor league system, or Terry Francona not knowing who the hell this guy was and hiring him as the pitching coach, Mickey Callaway has come in as a virtual unknown. I mean, he's a nondescript. He's a journeyman pitcher. ERA of around 6 for his career, pitched all over. I mean, 10 years ago when Jerry Manuel and Dan Worthen and the Willie Randolph situation was going on, he was pitching in the independent league. So Mickey Callaway was still a player. And 10 years ago may seem like a long time, but it's really not. It's not the longest time in the world. Time flies. So he's always been, I guess, quote-unquote, the underdog, and it seems like he's relishing the challenge. And he didn't say, I'll challenge you to wipe that smile off my face like Bobby Bonilla did, but he certainly was happy. Let's see how July 15th, West Coast trip maybe, you know, 6 out of 7, you know, maybe Cespedes is not feeling the urge to play, or there's some mini controversy in the media swirling. And I don't think this group will swirl, especially if they like him. But, you know, let's see how engaging and smiley he is then. But I think you saw what I liked most about Mickey Callaway is I thought he was transparently being himself. At least I felt that way. I never felt that way from day one. I thought Terry Collins was pretending to be someone who he thought he had to be. And that was always one of my of many gripes of Collins. But phoniness and not being authentic and who you are is part of it. And I also think that although he's looking to partner and work with the players, I don't think he's looking to be their friend or make them happy, or the things he says and does will necessarily make them feel good, because he's going to push them. He said in that press conference, it's amazing, I could not have asked for a better message. I mean, he said, not in these words, I'm going to push these guys. They're going to work harder. They're going to be pushed out of their comfort zone. This team so badly needs it. So badly needs it. Because if they're going to get to the next level, and they haven't, they got to the World Series, they didn't win it, they're going to need to be pushed out of their comfort zone. Anyway, let's take a quick break. When we return, TJ Zuppi of The Athletic, and we'll get a feel of what he thinks about Mickey Callaway and how his experience has been covering Mickey Callaway up close. You're listening to the Talking Mets podcast. Of course, you can check out the show all the time at MetsMorizedOnline.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media, and you can get the show on iTunes. If you could leave a review, that'd be very nice. SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. We'll be back with TJ Zuppi right after this.
What can the players expect? We're going to care more about the players than anyone ever has before. And we're going to know that they're human beings and individuals. And this is going to be a group that feels that every day we come to the clubhouse. And that's going to be our main concern, is to show them that we know this game is difficult and we care about you as a player, a human being, and about your personal life. We're going to value their work. We're going to value the way they collaborate and communicate. And we're going to value their dedication to the culture that we're trying to build. We know that they are human beings, and their numbers or stats are going to be a byproduct of how durable, prepared, and aggressive they are. And that's it. We're not going to have expectations on numbers. I'm going to have expectations that they're going to work the right way to go put up numbers. And if that happens, great. If not, I'm going to be happy that they worked as hard as they could and did everything they can to go out there and succeed. We will also ask them to do more than anybody ever has before. Okay, our group is going to become a team because of our losses, our mistakes, the little rifts we have in the clubhouse. They're going to know that those things are okay as long as we are trying to get better and learn from those things. We're going to use all of those things to strengthen our bond as a group and to become the team that we want to be. And in the end, if we can do that, we're going to be the strongest team we possibly can, and that's going to allow us to do exactly what we want on the field and not have the pressure of those expectations. I am so ready to get out of here and get this done so I can start talking to the players and we can start all the things that we have on our to-do list.
We're back, and new Mets manager today, and who better to talk to from The Athletic? TJ Zuppi, he's been out there in Cleveland, and I'm pretty sure he knows Mickey Callaway and the Indians pretty well, and he's joining us now. TJ, welcome to the program. You thought you were going to get an off season after the Indians were eliminated by the Yankees, and some more New York news coming in and kind of infiltrating, I guess, the Indians.
Yeah, I think we always knew that this was a possibility with Mickey because he is someone that carries such a well-respected, almost thought throughout the game, and certainly within the own clubhouse and the players and the fellow coaches and Terry Francona. Basically, everybody felt like it was probably just a matter of time for Mickey, and happened to be this offseason for him, so good for him.
I have with me TJ Zuppi from The Athletic. He covers the Indians. You can check him out on Twitter, at TJ Zuppi. And obviously on The Athletic, new venture out there, and it looks like it's going to be something interesting. Mickey Callaway was pretty much an unknown journeyman pitcher. Terry Francona takes over as the manager. And 5 years later, Mickey Callaway is one of the hottest managerial candidates out there. How did this happen? I mean, this is a quick ascent for somebody, TJ. And, we saw a little bit about him in the press conference, very charismatic, but winning the press conference doesn't always translate to success. Why is Mickey Callaway the right guy to manage a team, and especially this Mets team, which is a tough job here?
Yeah, I mean, if there's anybody that knows about winning the press conference and seeing that doesn't play out, it's media and fans here in Cleveland who have seen it a number of times with the football team, the Browns, who have had a number of guys come in and sound really good in a press conference, and then it doesn't really pay off on the field. As far as his ascent goes, I reflect back to something that Tito told us back in 2013, just before the season started. And when he was going through the process of picking a pitching coach, there was a lot of thought that he was going to go with somebody that he was familiar with. And Mickey was off the radar for Tito. He was not off the radar in the organization, but everyone kind of felt like, you know, as a guy coming in from Boston, was probably going to pick some of his favorites. And he ended up going with Mickey, which was a little bit surprising. And one of the reasons why, or at least initially, he said that Mickey was going to be a star. And you hear that and you go, what is that? A pitching coach is a star? What does that even mean? Well, we saw it kind of play out over the past few years. And, you know, you can just look at the stats, and anybody can do that and see what he's done with the pitching staff. But, you know, they also have a lot of talented guys on there. So he kind of has to go hand in hand. Without the talent, you can't do much with it. But as far as Mickey, what makes him, or what really separates him, is not only has he got a keen eye for talent and for mechanical issues and all the different things that a pitching coach has to sort of weigh through from an on-field standpoint, also just his managing of personalities and being able to adapt different styles and work with different types of pitchers and try to get the most out of them. And I think you can look at the Trevor Bauer as one for sure that you can sort of see that play out a little bit, where you take Bauer, who came in as a guy who was known to be very hard-headed, so to speak, and had his way of being about things. And throughout the years, you know, it's not necessarily that Bauer has bought 100% into what Mickey has done. It's been Mickey trying to blend what he'd like to see with what Trevor has done and sort of his mentality. And if you want to look at just his ability to work with different styles of pitchers, I think that's first and foremost where you can really see that sort of thing really kind of shine through. And it's not just about one type of pitcher trying to make everybody fit into one comfortable box. He's really good about taking many ideas and sort of finding a nice balance between what he would like to see and also what makes that pitcher comfortable.
TJ Zuppi from The Athletic. The bullpen is obviously a big topic of conversation over here. It hasn't been managed well. Now, there's been some deficit of talent, so to speak, but Terry Collins really struggled identifying roles, having a feel for the game. The Indians have been very progressive. I mean, what they did with Andrew Miller, I mean, I don't want to say they were the first, but they've kind of revolutionized how the bullpen comes into play, you know, coming in with the best pitcher and maybe not what is the traditional save situation. Is Mickey Callaway one of the guys that has spearheaded that, you know, considering that I know it's Francona's team, but you've heard a lot about how he has a feel for what, you know, situations he needs to put his pitchers in.
Yeah, I mean, and we won't really know that until we see what he does with these situations. I can tell you that as far as forward thinking goes, he's always been very open to that. And, you know, he's someone that will stress some of the old guard in that he wants to see his pitchers throw a lot of strikes and throw them early in the count. He preaches first pitch strikes. Just making sure you're ahead in the count so that you're able to utilize your best stuff. But he's also someone that, I won't say revolutionized, but has really drilled into the pitcher's heads here in Cleveland. You know, we're not just going to throw stuff that, you know, is what you're supposed to throw in this count, or we're going to lead off with a fastball because that's just what you do. He's always stressed throwing your best pitches as often as possible. And, well, you know, whether that's the curveball, whether that's your slider, whether that's your cutter. So really being open to kind of the analytical way of going about things with his pitchers and trying to show them the data that reflects, hey, when you throw this pitch more often, you're getting better results. So the fact that he's always been that sort of guy that, you know, has found a way to marry, you know, just the old school elements with the new school elements would lead me to believe that he's going to be open to really doing a number of different things and thinking outside the box. And you also have to have the right players to do that too. And I think a lot of people forget that. You have to have your players buying in or else it isn't going to work. And in Cleveland, they had that buy-in. They had Andrew Miller and Cody Allen and Brian Shaw, and all these guys are willing to pitch in whatever role they were going to be thrust into. You know, not every team is blessed in that way. So it'll be on probably trying to win some guys over. And sometimes you have guys that aren't comfortable pitching in different situations or aren't comfortable you being utilized in certain ways. And, you know, it'll just be upon Mickey to try to hopefully win those guys over or find guys that will be that unselfish and willing to do what some of the guys here in Cleveland have been willing to do.
And you mentioned Terry Francona, how he, you know, Callaway was an unknown. He won Francona over. And there's been reports that they were very close. Their thought process was very aligned. What are the things you think that Callaway will take away from working with Francona? I mean, obviously in New York, you know, covering the Yankees, seeing the Red Sox come in all these years, we're all familiar with Francona, but you've covered the team. You've seen him day in and day out. And sometimes when you just see them come in for three games or once a year or twice a year, you don't get that same feel. What do you think he could take away from being around Terry Francona, who has turned the Indians around virtually right away since he took over?
Well, I think it's going to be mostly managing people. I mean, that's where Tito really separates himself. If you look at the X's and O's and the strategy in game, if you're looking around the game, more, I would say most managers are probably pretty close in how they go about the in-game tactician stuff. And I think some of that gets overblown at times. Where a good manager, in my mind, really separates himself is kind of what we were talking about. Get your players to buy into certain ideas, even if it makes them a little bit uncomfortable. Know the right things to say to people in the right situations. And that's where Tito has always been among the best, if not the best, just managing the room. Because to me, more so than any sport, that's where in baseball it's such a huge separator, because it's 162 games and you have to be able to kind of keep everybody aligned and on the same page. And the mental part of that is just as much as anything. So I think just for Mickey, who already is a guy that has such a great personality and can be so infectious and it's so fun to talk to and you can learn a lot from, and he has all of those intangibles already, but just seeing kind of how Terry Francona has gone about things over the past 5 years, I can't imagine he didn't pick up some really stellar things to help him in this new job.
Would you be surprised if he took over? I don't know what their contract situations are, but members of the organization, obviously they're looking for a pitching coach, a bench coach. I mean, that's still to be determined. Are there any rumblings, or do you feel like there may be one or two guys that might be headed to New York that may be part of Mickey Callaway's staff?
I mean, I guess I wouldn't be surprised. Haven't heard anything. And we're supposed to at least talk to somebody within the Indians organization tomorrow to kind of get a clearer picture of what they intend to do with their pitching coach job. And you know, that could impact things as well. If Mickey is looking at somebody inside the staff, and I'm sure he's going to be respectful to the Indians and what they need to do here as well, trying to fill their pitching coach job. So I think until we really get a grasp of that, it will just be speculation on my part. But I mean, it always seems to happen. You see a guy or two maybe make his way over, and the Indians, not only just coaching staff wise, as we saw this here recently with Kevin Cash make his way to the Rays from the Indians bullpen coach job. Also in the front office too, they've had so many different guys that have left to go lead other organizations and have taken few pieces, parts here and there. So I think we've seen it enough that usually you surround yourself with at least a few people that would make you comfortable. But the one thing I can say about Mickey is I think he's comfortable and confident enough himself that he's not surrounding himself only with yes men. And I think that's important. For a first-time manager, you know, you want to bring people in that you're comfortable with and kind of help stress what you're trying to bring about. But you also need some people there to give you a little bit of a differing sense of opinion. And that's something that Terry Francona has, that environment has sort of created here in Cleveland that maybe Mickey can take to work, is that they bring a lot of different voices in the room and they make sure everybody has their voice and they make sure everybody's heard, and then they come to a consensus. I think you need to have some healthy dissension, a little bit of disagreement to maybe bring about things you weren't thinking about before, because even as Terry Francona has told us, you know, many times, there were certain things that he was against, and he listened to his coaches, he trusted them, and he ended up going with something that they thought, because they ended up winning him over and ended up paying off. And I think as a good manager, you have to know maybe when you don't know something and when you need to listen to people. And I'm pretty sure that from all of our conversations we've had with Mickey throughout the years, he's certainly confident enough that he can listen to other people and take what he needs to and put that into other situations.
And it's going to be important because he's a pitching coach. You don't see many pitching coaches become managers. I know Bud Black, former pitcher, but you know, pitching coach to manager is a little bit different. And it was made clear today, he's not going to manage the pitching staff like a, you know, dual role. So I wonder how much of a challenge that's going to be, not just because of Mickey Callaway, because just the position in general. That's something a little bit different you don't see all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's where you probably jump the gun a little bit when you think, oh, well, the Mets have these great pitchers. We have these great talents. So bring in a pitching guy and he'll work directly with them. Well, it's probably not going to exactly be that way. It's the same thing in football. The offense is struggling, so go get an offensive head coach. The guy has to manage a lot of different things. He's not just going to be hands-on with one thing. So whoever he brings in to be his pitching coach and his bullpen coach and everybody else will being part of that staff. I mean, that's all pretty important. You certainly want to bring in people that you trust and will do kind of what you want to do and can get on the same page with you, because Mickey's not going to be able to do all the same things that he did in Cleveland. He's not going to be able to go out and watch every bullpen for every starter that's out there. And he's going to be wrapped up in a number of different things. So that'll be interesting to watch. And I think every manager that's going through it for the first time kind of has to learn how to not be too hands-on, because you can't control everything. Unfortunately, there are some things, even as Terry Francona was talking about, and he was getting kind of ripped here in Cleveland for some of the choices they made on their ALDS roster. And it's really the first time he's had a lot of this sort of second guessing in this city. And, he's willing to admit sometimes you try to make everything stretch and you try to handle everything. And sometimes you can't, you just do the best job that you can.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you. I mean, obviously, Jay Bruce had a nice little year here in New York. He had a big impact in Cleveland. He's a free agent. Obviously, the Yankees eliminated the Indians a couple of weeks ago. Has the stink worn off? What's the temperature there? And then Jay Bruce is somebody that's maybe, I don't know which direction the Mets are going to go, but they may be looking to maybe do a reunion. And I think Ohio guy, Cincinnati, had a good time in Cleveland. Sometimes those situations, you start to fall in love, kind of like the Mets and Cespedes a couple of years ago. What's the temperature of all that over there in Cleveland with Bruce and where they're going to go after a very disappointing ALDS loss?
Well, they got a number of different free agent and option decisions. Michael Brantley, they have to decide whether or not they're going to pay him $12 million, and he's been such a gigantic part of the organization, so it's not like just cutting ties and looking strictly at numbers. There's a personal element of this as well. Carlos Santana is a free agent. They have to decide whether or not they're going to keep him, and Jay Bruce falls into that as well. Now, you can only take so much away from the conversations you have with players 5 minutes after their season ends, because there's been a number of times throughout the years, whether it's college football or basketball, or a player right after the game and says, "I'm coming back to school next year," and then a week later, he's headed for the draft. In the emotion of the moment, it's tough. But I know, just covering Jay a little bit here in the final 2 months or whatever it actually was, he's someone that really did appreciate the organization. And I don't know if probably it's too strong to say fell in love, but I think he really enjoyed his time being there. And he really fit in really well, which was almost surprising how well he fit in. And I know some of that is because he had a relationship. He's been with the Reds, and the Reds and the Indians share a complex. So it's not like he was a stranger with a number of these players. But he came in, and it was like he had been there all year long. So that's a testament to him and a testament to the culture they've created in the clubhouse to make it easy for guys to fit in the middle of the season. So I think there's a number of reasons why they would want that union to continue on both sides. But the biggest question is, can they pay him what's comfortable enough to make it work for both sides? I don't know the answer to that right now, because they're still sifting through the Michael Brantley decision and the Carlos Santana decision, and both of those they're going to have to handle very delicately, let's say, just because of how long both of those guys have been here.
Hey, and last thing, so the Athletic, I don't know how long you've been there, but obviously it's a new venture, a lot of interest. Obviously, you're covering the Indians. Are you just covering the Indians? What are you doing over there? Give the listeners an idea if they're – I'm sure they're familiar with it, but maybe there's some interesting things coming up for you or in general at the Athletic that they may want to know about and subscribe and what have you.
Yeah, I mean, I started when they launched the Cleveland portion of this. We were the third city. They were initially in Chicago, then they expanded to Toronto, and Cleveland was the third destination. And I started in March, so I've been there all season long. And we've just expanded exponentially and growing at a rapid pace. As I know many people by now know that Ken Rosenthal is writing for us as well. And we've expanded our Indians coverage to bring on one of my good friends and colleagues, Zach Meisel. And I are our tag team in the Tribe Beat now, and that's our primary focus heading into the offseason is all the things that they have that are sort of unique to a team that is as good and as many people expect to be back in the playoffs as the Indians, but yet a number of things kind of hanging over their heads. So there's no lack of things to talk about and discuss, whether it's podcasting or writing and tackling all sorts of different topics from different angles. And of course, trying to bring people something that's a little bit different than what they're finding elsewhere, because we know people are subscribing and we have a responsibility to our readers and our fans to bring something a little bit different. And I think we try to do that every day here at The Athletic. So I'm really excited about the direction we've gone and the direction that is still ahead and some big things ahead for sure.
Hey, you've been generous with your time. Thanks again, man. Hey, who knows? There may be some Indians on the way. You never know what happens with Callaway and free agency. And if there's another, you know, cross chance to talk about an Indians New York topic, we'll reach out to you. So be well, and thank you again for spending some time with us.
No problem. Anytime you need me.
That's TJ Zuppi of The Athletic. Good stuff. Interesting stuff. Gave you kind of a look. There has not been, as I said in the open, you can't get a better press conference. You can't get more positive press in a 24-hour span from being named the manager to being introduced to as the manager. You know, but we've seen this before in this town. And, you know, now it's about rolling up your sleeves, Mickey Callaway rolling up his sleeves, the Mets getting themselves a coaching staff and getting on with the task of building the team in the offseason. Let me take a quick break. When we return, one last note, a pitcher that is going to be available that could maybe anchor the staff in a way that Bartolo Colon did, a blast from the past, a name that you may be familiar with, somebody who may or may not be available, depends on what the career path they're going to take. So let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll wrap up right after this.
Hey, Mets fans, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. If you're looking for the best unbiased and independent coverage of the New York Mets, then look no further than MetsMerizedOnline.com. MetsMerized Online is the go-to place for comprehensive Mets coverage, including exclusive interviews, daily original articles, great weekly features, in-depth analysis, minor league reports, game-by-game breakdowns, and so much more. Find out why thousands of fans turn to MetsMerized Online every day to get the latest news and opinions about the Mets. Coming from an impressive staff of the most passionate fans and skilled writers ever assembled, all in one place. Check it out for yourselves, Mets fans. Go to MetsMerizedOnline.com right now. That's Mets, MERIZED, online.com, and get mesmerized today.
Hey, a couple of final thoughts. I thought it was a good segment. I want to appreciate TJ Zuppi coming on, and who knows, maybe as we go forward, maybe we got a new contributor or somebody we could reach out to. I don't know how many times we're going to have Mets-Indians crossover connection, but who knows, maybe a World Series matchup in the future. Who knows? But anyway, before I get to one quick thing, I did hear TJ talk about the Mickey Brantley decision, Carlos Santana, Jay Bruce. Who knows, as there are free agents or there are opportunities to upgrade the roster, if because of Mickey Callaway's familiarity with the Indians organization, maybe that's something that you'll see the Indians and Mets partner on, whether it be via trade, free agency. I'm not going out and saying that they should go out and get any of those guys. I know Bruce is probably the most likely guy for the Mets to look at. Santana, to me, is more of an American League player, but he is a first baseman, in theory, right? So, something to just take a look at. We're just thinking about that after TJ got off the phone and what have you. So, anyway, the pitcher I was talking about, it looks like R.A. Dickey is going to be available. Now, I don't know, and you guys may have read this if you're not. So R.A. Dickey was basically the option, an $8 million option that was part of his two-year contract was not picked up. And I was a little surprised because all reports throughout September were that the Braves were going to pick it up. Now, there's been upheaval in the Braves front office, the scandal with the international situation, which is still coming out. There's always been some, you know, Jim Bowden, who's over on SiriusXM, was involved in his own scandal. There's a lot of dirty stuff that goes on with the international market. It looks like the Braves got themselves caught with their hand in the cookie jar. But maybe that's played into that. and maybe they don't want a veteran anchor with that at that price tag on their staff. I don't see why not. I think it's important for a team, especially as they continue to try to take the next step to be a 500 or better team, maybe contend. I don't know if they're ready for that next year. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, I think R.A. Dickey is a better option if he wants to pitch than a Bartolo Colon, in the sense where the Mets need a veteran who knows how to pitch who could give them innings. I mean, he gave the Braves 190 innings last year. He was a league average pitcher. He had a 10-10 record, a 4.26 ERA. You know, he's not, and I don't know if maybe it was like maybe a little bit of a career spurt that he had in 2012. Certainly it might be part of that. He may not be the pitcher that won the Cy Young Award that yielded them Noah Syndergaard and Travis d'Arnaud. But he's certainly a really good option for the Mets. And I'm even looking, because one of the things I wanted to see is maybe it was his home-away splits. He pitched a little bit better on the road than he did at home, but he was pretty consistent across the board. I think he's a guy that'll give you innings. He'll anchor the staff. I know that there was some issues when he was here in the clubhouse because of his book. And, you know, I've heard some things firsthand and secondhand about why the players were upset about him, feeling that he was making it about him. And I didn't look at him as a bad clubhouse guy, but and I don't know how he left. And I don't know if the Mets would be interested in bringing him back in, but certainly he'd be a name when you talk about a veteran anchor to a staff that I would look for. And that was one of the names that just popped out to me. And again, how he fits into the culture and what Mickey Callaway's trying to do and how things were as he left when he didn't get his contract extension and the Mets decided to trade him. I don't know. I don't know how the front office feels. It's the same group, so it's not like you could say, well, that was a different group. But it is the new manager, and a lot of the guys are not from that 2012 team, are not here anymore. So, you know, it may not matter what happened in the clubhouse. So just something to think about. There's one name as we head into the offseason. Now that the Mets have a manager, I know that the coaching staff will need to be named, and we'll see how that goes. You know, at the end of the day, like I said, it didn't really matter to me who the manager was. I wanted them to go with the best candidate that seemed to bring all the things I talked about in the open, the process things, or could execute the process things, and somebody new and fresh. And I think other than Manny Acta, everybody fell into that. Kevin Long, we could debate that. But and give Paul Lebowitz, who was on this, Paul Lebowitz, FanRag Sports, he was on the program less than a week ago, and he thought Callaway would have been the best, most out-of-the-box decision, and that's the way the Mets went. And it looks like so far, after one day, it'll be at least it looks like the right decision so far. So we'll see. But interesting start to the offseason. Now we could get into the hot stove. And like I said, we kick it off a little bit with a name like R.A. Dickey. And maybe that's that's a name that we'll just keep an eye on. So anyway, want to thank T.J. Zuppi for joining me today. You can check him out at T.J. Zuppi on Twitter and also at The Athletic. Of course, check out our partners over at MetsMorizedOnline.com. Send me a tweet at Mike Silva Media, and you can get the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your week. I'll be back soon. We'll see how the content goes, but keep staying tuned and see what's going on. Take care, guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.